trust everyone had a good Thanksgiving. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we're asking, Lord, for your divine guidance in this service to God. Lord, anoint us, Father, for what you've called us to do. I pray, dear God, that you will, Lord, God, take complete control of me, Father, to be able to preach, Lord, what is on your mind this morning, Lord. We ask it, Lord, for you to receive all glory in this service, dear God, knowing our hearts, dear God, knowing our needs. I pray, dear God, that you'll speak to us, dear God, to move us on further into Christ. We pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. I want to read from Exodus chapter 32. I'm going to continue speaking on the subject we had of homemade religion, where we had actually taken it from the book of Philippians, where Paul talked about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I want to, last Sunday, you know, we covered a lot about what that really meant about working out your own salvation, was that, you know, and nobody else can do it for you. You've got, every individual has to accept it for themselves. You know, this, if you accept that as being the word of God and believe it, it totally throws out all of these things, other things about people being able to speak for you and people being able to, if they love you, you'll be okay whether you serve God or not and all that. It throws all that out the window. Seek out, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, you don't get in because of who mom and dad is, or grandpa and grandpa, or grandma, or whoever. It's each individual has to accept it for themselves, you know. Now, you might say, well, but Brother Branham said at the White Throne Judgment that there would be those that would come up before the White Throne Judgment that had been good to the bride, and members of the bride would speak up for them and say, they were good to me, Lord. But they had to first accept salvation while they were here and had the opportunity. The thing was, they weren't elect to be in the bride. But eternal life has spoke to them. But they can't get that if they didn't receive salvation and accept Christ in the first place. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody is speaking for devils and saying they were good to me. If they never accepted Christ, if they live like the devil and like the world, there is no hope. They had opportunity to accept Christ and did not. And I got to tell you this, friends, the more people know, the worse it's going to be on the day of judgment. All right, now, we covered that, you know, the last couple of Sundays or so, and even on Thursdays is where we started with all that. But I want to get into a little something else with this, about this whole subject. You know, Brother Branham saying man's always trying to find a way to work out salvation himself. And he says it's a homemade fig leaf religion is what Brother Branham called this thing that people do. So let us read in Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man which brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which thou are in your ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You may be seated. Now, let me just set this straight by the scriptures. You know, in a lot of people, you know, they, even though they read the word of God, there are a lot of people, they actually, when it comes to things like this, they take as their a point of reference is the movie made by Cecil B. DeMille of the Ten Commandments. But I want to show you that it happened a little different than it showed it in that movie. In that movie, it shows God coming down and engraving the Ten Commandments upon the stones and that, and then Moses coming down and finding him with the calf and all that. And that did happen. But it leads you to believe that the children of Israel had not already received the Ten Commandments. And that's not true by the scriptures. Because by the scriptures, when you read in Exodus chapter 20, God, they had come out of Egypt about 3 days' journey. They come into Mount Sinai. And when they got there, then God says, I'm going to come down and speak, but you get the people ready. And so there was about a three-day process of preparing the people for God to come and speak to them. And so you're familiar with the scripture. God comes down, and there's thunderings and lightning, and darkness comes and that. And then God thunders out, and his voice speaks, you know. And then the children of Israel say, oh, this is too much for us. Let God just talk to you, Moses, and then you just come tell him what he says to us. But when that was taking place, what God was speaking to them there was the commandments. And so in Exodus 20, well, this is, you know, this is what, 12 chapters previous to this whole thing with the golden calf, that God actually speaks, and the Bible says that he said, I'm the Lord thy God that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them nor serve them, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God, visiting iniquity upon the fathers of the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And then from there he goes on to the rest of the commandments. But this is the first commandment, is, you know, I'm the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. So now, Israel heard this with their own ears. And then Moses goes up unto the mount then, because they said, look, we don't want God to speak to us anymore, just let him speak to you, then you come back and tell us what he has to say. But then Moses went away and went up into the mount to hear from God. The people knew that's where he was going. They knew that's what he was going for. And they knew they were just to wait. And according to what they had asked, Moses was going to come back down and tell them what God had said. Now, while Moses was up there, of course, that was when God came and by his own finger was writing these commandments upon these tablets of stone. But they already had those commandments. They already had heard the word of God. They already knew that what they then said, look, make us another God. We'll say this God brought us out of Egypt. This is all in direct contrary to what God had just spoke to them. He said, I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt. You should have no other gods before me. And they said, look, we need another God. And we're going to say that God brought us out of Egypt. Look, it was like we're going to take exactly what God said, turn it around, make it a 180, and just make a complete another message commandment out of this. They made themselves a homemade religion. And if you notice, when Moses comes down, that's when Moses comes down. God says, get you down. He tells them what they've done. They've made a graven image. They have said that this is the God that brought them out of Egypt. They're making offerings to it. They're bowing themselves down before it. And said, get down to the people. Go down to them. And then that's when Moses comes down, sees what they've done. That's when he throws down the tablets that God had made and break them on the ground. And then Moses, he begins to rebuke them. He melts down the golden calf, and he takes it and makes it into ashes, sprinkles the ashes in the water for the children of Israel, and has them drink it. And then he says, look, all of you that's on the Lord's side, come over here. And then he has the Levites to take swords and go throughout the people and slay. I think the Bible says about 3,000 people were slayed that day. And so that's how it took place. So God takes these things very serious. Now, of course, now that we have the blood of Jesus Christ, God's not coming down and slaying people. The earth's not opening up right now and swallowing people. We're not being commanded to go out and kill people and all these things. Why? Because it's under the grace of the blood of Jesus Christ. But there's coming a day, friends, while the blood of Jesus Christ is there, then work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Everyone has an opportunity to accept or reject. But now, once that blood has been lifted, you say, when will that blood be lifted? As soon as the bride is taken up. Once that blood's lifted, then let he that is filthy be filthy still. There is no more opportunity. Then you're going to see some acts of God like what they saw here in the days of Israel and Moses. Moses says, you remember when Dathan and Korah rose up and they said, look, you take too much upon yourself. You have made yourself a prince to us. And said, we're holy too. And so, Moses says, God tells him all the things to say and everything. And then Moses says, all that's on the Lord's side, come over here. And he says, listen, if these men die a natural death, then God never sent me. He said, but the earth's going to open up its mouth and swallow them up. And that's exactly what took place and happened. It swallowed them up, closed back up. They were gone. The rest of Israel kind of fled, said, lest the earth swallow them up as well. They saw something and made them afraid. They kind of got in line for a little bit, but then later on down the road, Kadesh Barnea showed their true colors, and they still didn't believe. But here Moses comes down and he asks Aaron, what have you done? You've caused the people to sin. Now watch what Aaron does. Now, here's Aaron. Now, realize, Aaron is the priest. He's the preacher. And, Brother Branham said, look, where he says today the worst piercing of Christ happens? He says, from the pulpits. He says, they come and they make the word of God of none effect to the people. By what? By fashioning the word into something other than what it actually is. And Aaron says, well, here's what happened. You know how the people are. They got mischief. And they wanted another god, so I said, well, bring me your gold, and I threw the gold in the fire, and look what happened. That calf came out. But that's not what happened. The Bible says that Aaron actually took graving tools and carefully fashioned that gold. He molded it into this golden calf. Moses then he tells him, he says, look, he says, the people are now naked before the other nations. That's the terminology Moses uses. Because of their unbelief, because of what they've done, now they have actually made themselves naked. Now he's speaking of a spiritual thing here. Because they have actually began to worship another god.
other than the God that actually brought them out of Egypt, the only God, the one true God, they had turned to something else. But it wasn't another God that came up through some supernatural act. It was a God they had made themselves. And because of that, then God is saying they're naked. Now, we realize that this end time age, the Bible has said they're naked and they don't know it. And it says, you know, I counsel you, buy of me gold tried in the fire. I've got white raiment to give to you. And we know that the Bible also says that the bride that she hath made herself ready. And we know that Paul, as Paul speaks about the nakedness, that without the truth, the people are naked. And that's what Moses was saying about them. He was saying, look, that's what's happened to these people now. They're no longer covered by the word of God. They showed by their unbelief. Now, let's just move on down several thousand years. And we find there was a prophet on the face of the earth by the name of Isaiah. And Isaiah, as the Spirit of the Lord would move on him, Isaiah would prophesy. You know, when we had our service on the communion back there in October, we actually took our text out of Isaiah 53, how Isaiah speaks about this coming of the Messiah and that. But in Isaiah chapter 7 is where actually Isaiah says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. So now these were the writings of Isaiah, the prophet. And friends, look, prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, that the manifestation of that word that was promised back in the garden coming to pass, the priests, the preachers, those there, the teachers of Israel, they had these prophecies. They had all of the scriptures of the prophets and of Moses and of they had all of this, and they had access to this, and realize as these things came down, it kept getting passed from generation to generation that they were actually looking for this Messiah that had been promised since the time of Adam, that actually Moses had actually reiterated on it again and said, the Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. And so, and Abraham looking for it. So this had been passed down from generation to generation that there was coming a Messiah. They knew what, when they went to make these sacrifices of the blood of the bulls and goats and all these things, they knew they were doing it as a shadow and type of something that God was promising he was going to do. They weren't doing it blindly. They knew why they were doing it. But by the time it was ready for God to actually bring that promise to pass, the religious men of Israel had taken these things of the scriptures, and they had done exactly like what Aaron had done. They had molded it and fashioned it and made it into a complete other than what the prophecies of the prophets and the word had said. They made it into something completely different, so that when the fulfillment came, the imagery that they had made, it was idolatry, but it was a spiritual idolatry. It was something that was mental. It was not actually a physical image they had made, but they had made an image of God's word that they had presented and taught to the people. And by the time the the fulfillment came, the image that they had created, it didn't match the reality of what God was doing. And therefore, they couldn't recognize it then. They couldn't recognize the word being fulfilled because they had took the word of God and carefully fashioned it into something that spoke something different. And then we find Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus comes and it says he takes the book of the prophet of Isaiah. And he opens it up. And actually the scripture that he refers to is actually found in Isaiah chapter 61. And Jesus begins to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So what Jesus was standing here, he reads of the prophecy of Isaiah, and then he says, "Look, I'm the fulfillment of that." It wasn't something they had to go and get a bunch of clues to piece this together. He says, "Look, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." But they didn't believe him. They didn't accept it. We see that by their actions. What happened? They rejected Jesus Christ. They crucified Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, "I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted." And then remember when we read in Galatians how Paul comes and says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel." And then Paul goes on to say, "Which is not another," meaning they're still saying they're preaching the gospel of Christ. He says, "But they've perverted the gospel of Christ." And he says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been preached, let him be accursed." So Paul is saying here, look, they're preaching another gospel. They're bringing and preaching and teaching you something other than what actually has been brought to you by God. But they're not doing it under another name. They're still saying it's the same gospel. Brother Branham says this in the message of perfect strength by perfect weakness. He said, Paul said, "I can move mountains with faith, heal the sick. I can have knowledge of the Bible. I can go to seminary, learn all the stuff and everything, and yet I'm nothing. Oh my, talk about the lid off the kettle. Demons going around, powers of the devil under the name of Christianity, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Theological seminary doctrines, leaving the Bible. Who's strong enough? Who's wise enough? Who's powerful enough to tame this legion, stripping the clothes off our women in the name of preachers? Methodists, Baptists, Pentecostals, painting their faces like Jezebel, bobbing their hair, wearing their pants just like men. Our preachers, not enough get up about them to tell them about it. Devil possessed." He said it was the legion that tore his clothes off him. "Who is this roaring devil?" So Brother Branham's talking about, at that time, this was preached in 1961, Brother Branham was saying, look, all of these denominations, he says, they're going around and they're teaching for doctrine, actually their own church creeds and commandments, doctrines of men, commandments of men. And he says, look, they're actually devils claiming to be Christianity. So they're not claiming to have another gospel. They're claiming they got the same gospel, but it's actually perverted, which makes it another gospel, which makes it, as Paul said, another Jesus. Why does Paul say another Jesus? He's not talking about them raising up another person raising up and saying, well, now I'm Jesus now. And that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying they have took and fashioned by their own mouths and their own teachings, they have fashioned Jesus' character to be something other than what it was. And they're actually teaching things saying he said it when he didn't say it. So then, friends, we come down to our time, our age. And what men have done, they have taken the end time message that we have received, the opening of the word revealed in this end time age, which was introducing Christ again to the people. And they have took and carefully fashioned it by taking this quote and this scripture and that scripture. And they have fashioned it into something that is another message. But they still claim the same name. They still say, we believe the message. They still say, we believe Brother Branham. But friends, it's another Brother Branham, just like Paul said, another Jesus. Because they have fashioned it into something that doesn't fit the character of the man that God spoke through to deliver the end time word. Amen. And they're proclaiming things that saying that he said this or taught this, and what they're doing is they're actually taking these things and fashioning them to make up their own religion. And you know what the thing is, friends? Then therefore the people are left naked. Why? Because they're no longer clothed with the word of God. They no longer have the word of God, the garment of God. Now they are clothed. As Brother Branham said, religion, that word means covering. And he said, Adam and Eve, they made themselves homemade coverings or a homemade religion. That's why he called it a fig leaf religion, homemade fig leaf religion. And he said, but that covering they made, those clothes that they made, they were still naked before God because it was man-made. It didn't match the word of God. But their minds have been given over to a strong delusion that they would believe a lie and be damned by it. Paul says. And that's why the scripture says they're naked and knoweth it not. They don't know that they're naked. They think they're clothed. Why? Because they are believing something that is actually a lie or a perversion. And as Paul said, just like as Eve was beguiled through the subtlety of the serpent. So people were beguiled by what? They heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. What? Preachers that would tell them what they want to hear. They wanted to hear some kind of a loophole to where they could say they believe the message. They could say that they believe Brother Branham. They could say they love Brother Branham. They could believe that they were all right. They could tell their kids that they were going to be all right. Without actually having to surrender to the word. Without actually, and what they've done, they've created another message, another gospel that they have clothed themselves with. But this gospel they're clothed with isn't no more than homemade fig leaf religion, as Brother Branham called it. And so therefore, in the presence of God, they are naked. They are outside of the word. Now, why would they accept, why would anyone accept things like that? Because of their unbelief. There are folks, friends, look, there are folks that live right here. There's folks all around the world. There's folks all over this nation that know about the message. They claim to believe this message. They claim, oh, I love Brother Branham. They find some way to lay some kind of claim so that they have tricked their minds into thinking they're okay. And yet, they won't surrender to Christ. They won't. Look, friends, I'm going to tell you what it actually is. They have not even accepted salvation. Many of them grew up in homes with parents that believed the message, or grandparents or whoever. Some of them grew up in homes of actually parents that weren't no different than them. They were just people claiming to believe it who really didn't. Because they wouldn't live it. They wouldn't line up with it. They wouldn't actually become subject to it. And then the Bible, Jesus says, look, you teach these things, these commandments, when you teach them, he said, so that you reject the word of God so you can hold on to these things as being your truth. So what have they got to do today? One way or another, they got to discredit the word of God. Well, they can't come right out and discredit the Bible. They can't come out, you know, of course we know there are people that come out and try to discredit the message and all this, but I'm not talking about those people. We know where they're at. I'm talking about those that have actually are still claiming to believe the gospel that was delivered in this end time age, but actually have another gospel. So they can't come out and say, well, the Bible's wrong or the message is wrong. No, they won't do that because they want to say they believe the message. They want to say they believe the message, they believe the Bible. So what do? They discredit the voice of God speaking through the mouths of his anointed preachers. They attack the character of the preachers. Look, they will point at all of these false preachers that they've known around the message as a reason for why they can't trust preachers. Look, friends, look, since the beginning of time, there's always been false. But God never accepted as an excuse, I know there's so many false out there, it's kind of hard for you to know the real ones, so, you know, if you don't listen to the real ones, I'll let you by. Nope. Uh-uh. Look, God doesn't care if there's 400 false and only one true. He told one time that was the one true that was there. He said, go up and cut the heads off of them 400 false ones. Remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal? God said, I don't care if there's 400 false prophets. You better listen to what this one says. And Brother Branham said, Jezebel was claiming them 400 false ones to be her pastors. He said, but it didn't matter. They weren't. said Elijah was still her pastor, whether she accepted him or not. In other words, Elijah was the man that God had sent to speak through the voice of God, to speak through to Jezebel. Whether Jezebel wanted to accept it or not, it didn't nullify the fact that it was the voice of God speaking to her. And when Jezebel wouldn't accept it, judgment was pronounced. So look, it doesn't matter, people who want to say they believe this message, but they don't want to go to church, they don't want to have a pastor, it doesn't matter what all they say, it doesn't matter if they attack the character of a God-called man, it doesn't matter if they tear him down, it doesn't matter if they say, well, we don't think he's real, you know, we don't think that he's true, it doesn't matter. God doesn't care. God says, this is the man I've sent. And Brother Branham says, when God sends a man, he says, God gives the people, he proves that he sent the man. He says, and then once he has, if the people will receive him, then God will rain out blessings upon him. Said, but if they reject the man that God has sent, then he says, it's gross darkness to them. Look, they try to point at the flesh of preachers to try to discredit that, well, this is why we can't listen to them. But the whole scripture speaks about that God hides his word actually behind the veil of badger skin, which is human flesh, which is ugly, which is full of faults and mistakes. Look, if there was a human on the face of this earth again, if I was here and I was perfect in my flesh, God wouldn't be very hid, would he? You say, yeah, but what about Jesus? Wasn't he perfect? Yes. However, look at what they pointed. Well, he sits down and eats with sinners. His people don't wash their hands when they eat. They pluck corn on the Sabbath day. He healed people on the Sabbath day. See, they kept pointing at things of the flesh. Well, he gets tired. He gets hungry. He gets weak. It's because it was God hid in flesh. But Jesus said, you reject the commandments of God that you might keep your own traditions. And that's what's happening in this end time age, friends. There are men that have claimed to be message preachers that have preached their own gospel, their own doctrines. That's where this stuff comes from. You can speak for your family and they'll get there. All you got to do is, you know, everybody loves you and you love, they're going to be there. That's where all this stuff comes from. What is it? They take quotes, but they take them out of context. They take it out of context from the message, and they take it contrary to the context of the Bible. You can speak for your family. Well, what about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? What do you do with that scripture? But this is the whole thing. When you go to talk to them, you know what they'll give you? Excuse the expression. They'll give you a word salad. They'll point you to other scriptures and other quotes and things that they have took out of context. Like I said last Sunday, it's really no different than what the Trinitarians, how they try to prove that baptizing in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is more correct than baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what Jesus said. That's what Peter said. I'll take what Jesus said. It's the same type of logic they use. This preacher, he told me something that sounded really good to me. He said he believes this end time message and is preaching it. And what he said, it gives me a way to not have to do this over here. Now, this preacher over here, he's telling me I gotta wear clothes a certain way. I can't, even trimming my hair is cutting it. He's telling me that, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to abide by that, so I'll abide by what this guy says. Because, you know, he tells me that mom and dad's going to be able to speak for me. He tells me that because they love me, I'll be okay. He gave me an out. He gave me a way to feel good without actually having to surrender. Look, friends, it ain't just here. And it ain't just that I've heard it recently. I can tell you things that will stand you on your head. People thinking that going around and saying it's okay to do drugs and still say you believe this message. Well, y'all heard about there years ago, there was some preachers, you know, that was preaching, you know, it was okay to, you can drink as much wine as you want to drink. A little wine for the stomach's sake is good. It's okay to drink the wine. It's not what goeth in to the body that defileth, but it's what cometh out. Yeah, and claiming to believe this message. Ask my good friend, Brother Bo. He and I know some of the same people from our past. And he's gave me testimonies of things he witnessed from the same people that I know. Them being at special meetings and they invited Brother Bo's daddy over to, they were at motel, staying in motels over there in North Carolina. And there was a preacher back then over there in that area back during that time. And so it was really a dynamic preacher. And so these other ones, all the people now, they all came in and came down there and all that, you know. And so they were staying in motels and things. And Brother Bo and his family was there. I think Brother Bo said he was about 15 years old or something at that time. And anyway, these people, that was in the service with him, invited his daddy, come over to our room for fellowship. He said he got over there, Brother Eddie Senior got over there and said they had big old glasses of wine. He said they were just drinking away. But that's what they taught. That's what they preached. It was okay. Well, I haven't heard of any preachers going around doing drugs, but I know a lot of people that claims they're going to be okay and that they're going to be going the rapture and that they believe this message, that go around and get high and smoke pot and do drugs and everything else, and they think, well, I'm going to be okay. Why? Because they have believed something that somebody taught them and told them. And that individual that they have believed, what they've done is they've made the true word of God that was preached by the end time prophet, they've made it of none effect to them. That's why they can sit in the service and hear the voice of God through a God man tell them this is wrong and that is wrong, that is not the correct truth, and this is the way it is, and they will sit there and reject that.
Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Hold on just a second. Is that the one I want to go to? No, first, go to James 1. The book of James, chapter 1. Now, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self.
Now, this word here, hearers, that James used is took from a Greek word. And I'm not going to try to pronounce it for you. It wouldn't matter if I did pronounce it correctly. None of us here knows Greek. Just take my word for it. You can look it up in the Greek lexicon. It's a Greek word used here that means a place set aside for hearing and deciding a case. A place set aside for hearing and deciding a case. He said, don't just be, he says, be ye doers, and not just somebody who comes to the place that's set aside to hear and decide a case and then not accept it. Let me break it down further. James is saying, look, when you come to church, line up with the word that's preached. Be a doer of what's being preached, and not just showing up, warming a pew, and hearing, but not doing. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, meaning a mirror, and beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now remember when we preached on this whole thing about a mirror? Through a glass darkly in these things and talked about a mirror and that. And we brought out the quote where Brother Adam says, the mirror you need to look into is God's word. Let God's word show you the true reflection of where you're at. It shows us where we are because it's showing us where we should be, and we can see when we come into church and we're looking into the word that's being preached, we know whether what's being said, we're not lining up with it or if we are lining up with it. And what James is saying is, look, a man that's just a hearer and not a doer said, he comes to church, he sets in, he hears what is he supposed to do, he looks at himself, he sees the shortcomings, sees where he need or she needs to change, measure up, realizes that it's just God's word speaking to him, trying to get them ready to go into a rapture, but then they leave out of the church and forget what they just heard, what they just saw, the reflection of themselves, they forget about it, and they go right back to the same stuff they believe, the same stuff they've heard said, the same teachings that they had before, they go right back to the same trash heap. Their character continues acting the same way instead of being transformed by the word that they're hearing. Changed. That's what transform means. Listen, let me give you this. A caterpillar goes through a transformation, a change that completely changes him in his form. Come out and be a butterfly. And what he's coming out as doesn't look anything like what went into that cocoon. There is a change, a metamorphosis that they go through that completely changes them. And that's what the word of God is to do to us. Change us from glory to glory. It's supposed to mold us into the image and stature of a perfect man, into the image of Christ. If we will allow him to mold us by his word into that. Now, how do we do that? By being a doer of what we're hearing. Let the word change. When the word says this is the way it is, then throw out all of your thoughts about this is how my family's always done it. This is how I've always done it. This is what I've always been taught. Look, friends, if all those things you have been taught that right now you're hearing that it's different than that, if all that would have been good, God would have never sent me. He wouldn't have had to. If these other men that came and taught you all these things throughout your life, if that was fine and good enough, and if they were really teaching you the truth of the message that was delivered by the prophet, then God wouldn't have sent nobody else to tell you what they said was wrong. So what's your point? My point is what they said is wrong and what I'm telling you is right. None of it ain't right because it's my opinion. And if you sit here on these pews and you think what I'm bringing you is my opinion, then no wonder you can walk out this door year after year after year not changed. It's not my opinion. Look, it is not my opinion that we're all going to the same heaven. It's not my opinion that if there's people you can't get along with here, you're not going to have to worry about even seeing them over there. That's not my opinion. That's truth. You're not going to have your own private personal corner where anybody you think, I just don't like the way they are. You're not going to be in a separate place from them. If we all are the elect children of God, we're all going to the same place. We're going in the same rapture. We're receiving the same body change by the same word of God, by the same Spirit of God. So it's not my opinion that if you can't get along down here, you won't be able to get along there. That's not just my opinion. That's reality. That's truth. That's the Word of God. Look at this. In Philippians that we had read from, you know, where it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know what disputings are? Fusses with one another. Paul says, do it without murmuring and complaining. And do it without fussing with one another. That's the word of God. It's not my opinion. It's God's word. All right, so God's word says that if we can't do things without murmuring and disputings here, then how do we think it's going to be any different after the rapture? I know we've got flesh, and I know how our flesh is, and I know it's weak, and I know we make mistakes, but I also know that we have received the Spirit. A spirit not of bondage, but we have received a spirit of liberty. We have received the Spirit of Christ, which can bring this flesh into subjection to the Word. In other words, the Spirit we have in us can say, listen here, old boy, this is what the Word says, and you're not lining up with it. Now you're going to do it. Hey, I'm not talking about me telling you that. I'm talking about you telling you that. Be a doer of the word. Not just a hearer. Let's go back to the scripture. For if any be a hearer of the word, in James 1 again, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. So, boy, that's a strange verse for James to throw in there with that. James is saying, look, you hear the word. Now be a doer of it. And if you have heard it, and then you go out of here and you won't bridle your tongue, you will continue this murmurings and fussings and things, then your whole claim on your religion is in vain. Because you're not letting the word change you. Look, friends, the word is not just coming to change this flesh body. This flesh body won't get a change if there hasn't been a change happened in here. There's got to be a change happening in your heart. I believe everyone sitting here this morning, under the sound of my voice, there's been a change happening in your heart. But I believe there are still some changes that need to take place in our character. Molding of our character. And as we read, Brother Branham said, character is not a gift. It's a victory. It means you're going to have to do something. So what am I going to have to do? Hear the word, accept the word, and change by the word. If you'll believe it, it will change you. I'm not talking about you going out here and say, well, he said do this, don't do that, do that. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is if you'll hear the word and let it, it'll change you. If you'll just believe it. Believe that it's not Jerry Browning's opinion, but that it actually is the voice of God speaking to you, changing us, molding us into the character of Christ so we can go in this rapture, so that we can receive a body change. When you go to the scriptures where Paul teaches about the body change, and we've taught on that. And Paul lets us know, those that won't accept Christ, they don't get a body change. They don't get a new body. Those that won't accept the word, those that reject their opportunity or reject the word, they will not get a new body. But Paul said on the day of judgment, they'll stand on the day of judgment in the body that they sinned in. We showed you in the scriptures how Brother Branham said those that reject it, when they die and leave this earth, they don't have a theophany body to go to. He said, so they're trapped in a nightmare. They're trapped, their life is done here. The body's dead, they can't come back. And they got no spiritual body to go to. He said, so they're just in a nightmare. My point with that is, we're not just preaching the word's going to give us a new body. But the word is making us new prior to that body change. The body change comes about because we have been so changed that this outside body no longer matches or says who we are. And so this outside body's got to be changed to match who we really are. Romans chapter 10 now, please. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's read that verse, pack it up, never have to go to church again. All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. You don't got to go to church. You don't got to claim anything. You got to live any kind of way you want to live or whatever. Just call on the name of the Lord. If that's what somebody did, then they're doing it in vain. Let's go on. Paul says, verse 14, how then shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? I'm calling on him. You don't believe in him. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Or how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, that word heard actually comes from a Greek word. It's a different Greek word than the word that James used. This word that Paul uses here means to comprehend, to understand, but not just stop there. It means to hearken, which you know what the word hearken means. It means do it. So now it does go back to what James says, being a doer. So how, if they have not heard, in other words, they don't know anything what the truth to hearken to line up to. How shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now that Greek word there for obeyed means they have not all hearkened. They have not all been a doer of it. They have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that word there, hearing, is from the Greek word that means that it cometh by instruction. And the instruction cometh by the word of the Lord. Now what is instruction? You know, there's many people, you know, a lot of times men, they'll get something they got to build at home, you know, one of these, IKEA furnitures or whatever the stuff is. And they look at the instructions, who needs that? Throws them instructions away and start trying to put that thing together. You need the instructions. But the problem is, all right, now let me reword that. Let's not use the word problem. The thing about it is, look, sometimes the instructions may be hard for somebody to understand. Maybe they don't give them enough words of instruction. They're just showing you some pictures, and you're like, well, this picture don't make sense with that picture. Or maybe it is just all in words and no pictures, and they're like, well, I can't understand these. I'm just going to throw them aside and give it the best shot I can. And then it don't go together right. Why? The instructions are important. So if you don't know how to read those instructions, if you don't know what the instructions really are, then what Paul's saying here is you need somebody to tell you. How can you hear except there be somebody to come and tell you what them instructions are? A preacher. A man that God has called, that God can come down through in his voice, the voice of God, speak the word of God to you. That when you hear that word and become a doer of that word, your faith is increased. Now remember Brother Branham making this statement. He says, there's people that can't have enough faith for a toothache. How in the world are they going to have faith for a rapture? How in the world are they going to have enough faith to receive a body change when they can't even have enough faith for a toothache? Well, then God sends men that he has called, ordained, anointed, and God speaks through them and builds your faith from being able to have enough faith for a toothache all the way up to having enough faith for a body change and going in the rapture. Now, that's not my opinion. Brother Adam said, stay with your pastor. He is ordained of God to see you through. I'm not saying that to build myself up, friends. I realize there is a great responsibility placed on the ministry here. Not a responsibility placed by the people. I don't care about the responsibility you try to place on me. The responsibility I got to worry about is the responsibility that God places on me. And I want you to know something. Part of that responsibility God has placed on me, on my shoulders, is your welfare, is your being spiritually changed by the word. Now, I can't do that as a man. But if the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in me, then the word, the Spirit of that word would be preached to the people. The people will receive that Spirit, as Paul said, not receive another Spirit, but receive the same Spirit of Christ, and thereby be changed. And then that scripture applies to them, because the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you. But if people are sitting under the ministry of a man who doesn't have the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, let me put it this way, doesn't have the Holy Ghost, then the people sitting under his ministry aren't going to get it either. You say, boy, that just, what are you saying? Go to the message Brother Branham preaches on the path of life. The path of life for Christ's life. Christ does that. He ministers it through the God-called men that he sent. The path of life. Look what Brother Branham talks about. Here was that eunuch down there in the days of after Jesus had left, and there was the disciples, the days of the apostles. And there's that eunuch down there, and he's reading the word. And so here Philip is brought down there, and Philip says, understand what you read? And listen to what this eunuch says. How can I, except some man teach me? Philip says, look, you've got a set of instructions there. Do you understand them? He says, nope, I don't. I need somebody to tell me what these instructions say so I can hearken to them, so I can be a doer of them. And so Philip expounds to him the scriptures. And he tells him, if you believe, you need to be baptized. And the eunuch says, here's some water. What doth hinder me? Let's get this done. I'm going to be a doer of this. I'm doing it right now. I'm not saying, well, Lord, you know, let me think about this a while, because this is a pretty hard thing for me. I've always done it this way. I've never heard of being baptized in water before. No, he said, let's just get this done. Let's do it now. Let's change right now. When we walk out that, listen, this is the whole thing, friends. You think you have a choice whether to change or not. Brother Branham says, when you cannot walk out the doors of the church the same as you came in them. And he said, you'll either be better or you'll be worse. And if we sit here and we listen to the word of God and we will not hearken to it, I'm going to tell you what it is, friends. Those that are hearkening to it, their faith is being built. They're getting closer and closer to that body change. They're getting closer and closer to actually being caught up into the rapture. They're getting closer and closer to actually seeing the dead in Christ rise and appear to them. But if an individual will sit and not hearken to that word and let that word change them, then 20 years down the road, they're still in the same shape, still doing the same stuff, still having the same fusses, still having the same problems. But everybody else has moved on. But then God says, listen, pastor, you're still responsible. So you know what you got to do? These are my elect too. So you're going to have to get these people that's been dragging their feet for 20 years, you're going to have to get them caught up with everybody else. So you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to leave the 99 during this service, and you're going to have to preach to this one or this one to get them up where they need to be so that everybody else can go on, because they're being a hindrance. But they're my elect. And I will not lose a one of them. So don't get frustrated now, Pastor. No matter how much you got to preach it, how many times, just keep bringing it. They are my children. They will line up. I will make sure they line up. But it's got to be preached. James says in chapter 4, therefore him that knoweth to do good, here goes back that doer again, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now we know what sin is. It's unbelief. So if we hear the word, and we know that's how we're supposed to do, but if we just stubbornly keep continuing on the same way, then now it becomes unbelief to us. It becomes sin. We're not talking about running around drinking. We're not talking about running around smoking. We're not talking about running around committing adultery. We're not talking about going around doing drugs. We're not talking about lying, cheating, stealing, and all this. We're just talking about a man that hears the word, a woman that hears the word and then knows that it is the truth, but still continues on the same way, not letting that word change them. Why would they not let that word change? Because they won't receive it. Now, why won't they receive it? Is it because they think it's just the preacher's opinion? Is it because that they have what humans call comfortability in the same rut that they've been walking in their whole life? Why do families, members, keep fussing with one another continuously? Generation to generation. It's because they've got comfortable with it. It became the way of life. And the word of God is saying, look, listen to the liberty of the word of God and be liberated from those things. Because those are carnal. Those are things of the flesh. Look, when I get up and preach, I'm not trying to make you brownies. When Brother Phil gets up and preach, he's not trying to make you Bontragers. We don't even want to be Brownings and Bontragers. You know who we want to be? Christ, sons of God. I don't want God looking down and saying, well, he's just a Browning. Look, friend, look, I know we have all these phrases that we use that are carnal phrases and phrases that mean things in this flesh and all that, but don't take those things and bring them over to the spiritual side. I don't live the way I live because I'm a Browning. I live it because I'm a son of God, and that's why you should. Sons and daughters of God. Honestly, there's only two families. Isn't that right, Brother Phil? There's only two families. When Cain was born and Abel was born, there was only two boys, two sons by two different daddies. There was only two families. There was the family and lineage of God. And then there was the lineage of the serpent seed. That's the only ones there is today. I don't care what your flesh last name is. You are either in the family of God or you're in the family of the devil. We are either elect children of God or children of God that fit somewhere in the economy. Maybe outside, there are those that fit outside of the bride of Christ. But there's either children of God or they're children of the devil. And Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul brings it out in Romans and says, look, let me make this clear. Esau and Jacob was from the same daddy and mama. And their daddy and mama were message believers. But that didn't make Esau and Jacob both children of God. Jacob was part of the family of God, and Esau was a serpent seed. So let's just get rid of this whole thing about these comparisons of these earthly families. And let's realize that the word of God that's being preached here is actually to make us more Christ-like, so that our character fits the character of Jesus Christ. So that we have a character, as Brother Branham said, that is fit to rule. Our character, fit to rule. Brother Branham is actually pointing to what the scripture calls as the time of the millennium, the time when God reigns on this earth for 1,000 years and his people rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Proving that man can live one entire day without dying. We're going to be ruling then. And look, this is the thing, friends. Your character gets molded here now, not then. So what's molding our character? Some years ago, I heard Brother Donnie, he took a sermon out of the message Brother Branham preached about end time evangelism. And Brother Donnie said, look, he says, God's got men that come in and they take the tools of God's word and they mold us and shape us into the image of Christ by the tools of the word. I heard Brother Harold Hildebrandt say one time, he said, when Michelangelo started carving away on that big old block of marble to make the statue of Moses, said all them chunks of marble that he was chipping away, that was all the pieces of marble that was not Moses. He said he started out with a big old block, and he starts just busting that thing up, busting away corners, just hitting it with a hammer, breaking stuff up and busting it off. It was messy. And it looked like, well, what in the world, how in the world can he be able to make some kind of a statue out of this? He said he was busting away all the stuff that was not Moses. And then after that hard preaching of busting stuff away, the way Brother Donnie described it, then God begins by the word, begin to work on, as Brother Hildebrandt said, like the eyelids. Just real gentle, real easy. Now he's trying to refine it, getting down to the fine details. But it's still chipping away little things that isn't Moses. And that's what the word of God is doing to us. It is chipping away things that are not you. Oh, what is chipping away? Might be something that was a Browning. Might be something that was a Bontrager, a Roberts, a Mast, a Horner, a Terra Nova, or a Jackson, or whatever. But it's not you. Because you are sons and daughters of God. As Brother Branham said, he said it came revealed to him, I am not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. I am a son of God. Hallelujah. Let the word change us. Look, we're approaching the end of this year. And we're getting ready to start another year. we don't want to just be somebody like the world, you know, that just tries to turn over a new leaf. But let's say, Lord, look, there's been times in my past that I've heard the word and I've drugged my feet. I was stubborn and wouldn't let it change me. I was comfortable being my miserable self instead of letting the engrafted word of God bring me joy and happiness and peace and faith and long-suffering. But God, I want to be a doer of your word coming from here on out, from this service forward. Whatever's preached, I want to line up with it. I want to be a doer of it. I want it to change me. I don't want to get another 5 years down the road and look back and say, I'm still in the same spot I was 5 years ago. I want to look back. Like Brother Branham talked about that woman that said, I might not be what I should be. I'm not what I'm going to be, but I sure know what ain't what I used to be. Let's be able to, from this time forward, every day look back and say, I'm not the same person I was yesterday. Something has been changing in me. It's changing me. It's the Word of God working from the inside to the outside. And eventually, that Word that's working on the inside will change this outside. We will see the dead in Christ rise. And then our bodies will be changed to match the change that's taking place on the inside. So I say to you, why haven't we been changed yet on the outside? Because we still got some changing to do in our character on the inside. That's why. Why hasn't the rapture come, Brother Jerry? Like I told you, I'm going to get into preaching a service talking about the cup of iniquity. But speaking directly to us as the elect bride of Jesus Christ, we need to let the Word mold us and change us, shape us into the character of Jesus Christ, into the character of sons and daughters of God. Look, friends, it's like this. Brother Branham says, a sheep doesn't have to think about how am I going to bear wool. It will just do it because that's what it is. It's a sheep. It will come natural for it to bear wool. The Word of God in us, as the Bible says, if the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, you don't have to worry about how am I going to have the right kind of love? How am I going to live the right kind of a life? How am I going to be pleasing to Jesus? How am I going to be able to get along with my fellow soldiers in the gospel? You're just going to do it because the same Spirit that was in Christ that raised him from the dead dwells in you. But now, just because that Spirit dwells in you doesn't relieve you of the responsibility of being a doer. And that's why Paul says you're sealed by the Holy Ghost in Ephesians 4. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed. You've got the Spirit of God. But don't grieve the Spirit of God. It's not going to change the fact that you're sealed if you grieve it. It's not going to change the fact that you're elect. It's not going to change the fact that you're going to be changing on the rapture. But the thing is, even though you've been sealed, you got to be a doer of the word. And that's when Paul said, put off from you all anger and malice and envy and all these things and evil speaking. Put that off. Paul said, you're in this flesh. You're going to have to contend with this flesh. This flesh is going to get its feelings hurt. This flesh is going to give us problems. This flesh is going to have wrong thoughts. But be a doer of the word and bring this flesh into subjection to the Spirit of Christ that's in you, that raised up Christ from the dead. Let the Spirit change you. You say, well, if there's no way around it, if I'm elect, it's going to change me anyhow. This is the thing. You remember, Brother, many of you maybe heard Brother Biscoe say one time about God bringing in his elect seed. He says, they can come easy or they can come hard. But if they're elect seed of God, they're going to come just the same. Meaning, God will do whatever it takes. So, friends, if we are elect seed of God here, then no matter what God's got to put on us, he will put it on. He'll pour it on. He'll whip us. He'll correct us. He'll chastise us. He will allow the devil to attack us. He will allow situations to rise that will make you utterly miserable. He will allow sickness to come on you and attack you. Whatever it takes, God says, you are going to do this. You know, some people in the flesh, in the natural, growing up, you know, their parents would tell them, you're not going to do this and you're going to do that. And that individual sat there and say, and not say anything, but in their mind they'd be saying, look, say whatever you want to say. I'm going to do what I want to do anyhow. Well, sometimes that's what we do spiritually. But God says, No. That you might have got by with that in your natural life. But you ain't going to get by with that being a son and daughter of God. You are going to do what I say. If I got to throw you in the dirt, if I got to kick you in the teeth, if I got to lay you on a deathbed, you are going to line up. And then Paul throws like a curveball at us. And he says, many sleep because they discern not the body of God, the body of the Lord. And Brother Branham said that meant that it was people who they wouldn't accept the correction God was bringing, so God took them off the face of the earth. Were they lost? Nope. No, they weren't lost. Are they going to be there? Yes. But their life, they were taken before their time. Their life was shortened here. How would that affect others? What effect might that have on other people? Remember Brother Branham saying about him listening to his mother-in-law not going down there to preach to them Pentecostal people because he said they was trash? What was it Brother Branham said about that? He said, I will have to give an account to God for the souls that would have come to him if I'd have went. How? I don't know. I can't explain that. I can only tell you what he said. He's just saying he's going to have to answer for it. Look, let's just do the easy thing. Let's not look for loopholes. Let's not look at, well, if I don't, what could happen? Let's just do it. Let's just be doers of the word. Let's just let the word change us. Let's come the easy way. Let's not make God have to bring us the hard way. Let's not make God have to rain stuff down upon us to get us to line up. Stand. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning, dear God, for your word. Not only that, Lord, but I want to thank you, God, for your long suffering of us. Be impatient with us, God. long-suffering. The times that we have drug our feet, but you haven't given up. You haven't quit. You didn't give up on us. God, thank you for that. Thank you for your grace. That's what grace is, Lord. Grace brings the long suffering of God. It's because we're under the grace of God. We're under the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we can say that you looking through the blood, you don't see our mistakes. And that's true. We say that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can confess our mistakes. We can confess our wrongs, our faults, and we can be forgiven. And all that's true. But Lord, the reason we're still here is because we haven't reached the stage of inner perfection that you are working to bring us to. And it's not because you have been lacking in anything in giving us the word. It's not that you have been lacking, Lord, in any area. But it's on our part. We need to be doers of the word. Not clinging, Lord, to teachings of our past that don't line up with the scripture. That don't line up with the truth, with the end time message that was delivered. Not clinging, God, to another gospel that some preachers has fashioned and molded out of quotes of Brother Branham into something else. But Lord, the engrafted word of God, the pure word of God, the unchanged word of God. I ask for your blessing on each and every one here this morning, dear God. I ask, God, that may, Lord God, that we be more determined than ever going out of this service. God, that we're not going to just come here hoping to hear good things. We're not just going to come here because we feel an obligation. But, Lord, we're going to come to the house of judgment. We're going to come to the house of God. We're going to let the word come and be judged now by the word. And Lord, be a hearer and a doer of your word. Bless your people today, Lord, as they go, Lord. Bless them as they go to partake of their lunch and things, Lord. Whatever fellowship they might have with one another, so forth, Lord. Bless them, God. Bless them this day. Bless them this week. Bring us back, Lord, at the appointed time. We ask in Jesus' name.